Hi, and welcome to What the Phalange, the podcast where we watch every episode of Friends, discuss it, deconstruct it, and fan over it, one episode at a time.
My name is Emily, pronouns she and her.
My name is Quinn, pronouns they and them. This week, we're talking about season 2, episode 21, the one with the bullies.
This episode aired. I can't get over. You sound like you're trying to be like a wrestling match.
Yeah, an old timey sports announcer is what I'm going for.
This episode aired on April 25th, 1996. It was written by Sebastian Jones and Brian Buckner. What great last name, Buckner. Yeah. And it was directed by Michael Lembeck.
Also, like good, like first name with last name, like Brian Buckner.
Yeah, it's a good alliteration name.
Yeah, totally.
Like it's like a comic book character, you know?
Way to go, Brian. Way to go.
Yeah, okay. So, hello.
How's it going?
Start right off the bat, this is Emily talking, and you're actually, for one episode, you're finally going to be able to distinguish between me and Quinn's voice. Because my voice sounds like this because I have COVID, guys. Isn't that fun? Yeah. And I'm still recording a podcast while I have COVID.
Which brings us to, we have been like doing so much work and gaining some momentum and making some big plans for our Patreon and trying to like inject a bunch of like energy into it. And I was really excited to announce that we're going to have some like some polls to get going on our Patreon page again. I don't know if you saw that on our Instagram account, but then Emily got COVID and we forgot to put up the polls on Patreon. But
we're going to put them up today, I thought.
Yeah, we'll put them up today. So they were supposed to come out on Tuesday. We're recording this podcast really last minute on Sunday. And so they'll come out a few days before the episode, but in future, The goal is to try to get them into the episode, like, because we release episodes every 2 weeks to try to get some polls released on the Tuesday in between. And then people can go over to our Patreon, answer them. And then, you know, if it works out, we'll be able to incorporate some of it into our recording.
Woo. Yeah. Woo-hoo. And also that, wow, words. What's nice is that with Patreon, yeah. Anyways, that was just a reminder to go to our Patreon, to go visit our Patreon too. Because, sorry, I was trying to say that it's also, I warned you, Quinn, I warned you that my brain would not be functioning at its best capabilities while we record this.
No, that's fine.
If you've had COVID, you understand the like brain fog situation, which is just like, it was way worse early this week. I got it like a week ago. Actually, can I tell the story? Because I just think it's really funny.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell the story.
All that, but first I'll say that on all this to say that the polls are actually available. You don't need to be a Patreon subscriber to see the polls. Am I correct?
No, you don't. Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah. You can answer the polls. You don't need to be a Patreon. You can just like go over to our Patreon page and answer the polls, but you don't have to actually be a Patreon.
Yeah, one of the reasons we decided to do this is because we've noticed that we have a lot of different people who listen to our podcast that kind of hang out on different platforms, and just putting our stuff onto Instagram that only lasts for 24 hours or whatever as a story, as a poll, it just sort of feels like it's not actually reaching a large portion of people who listen and like a large part of our community. So we decided that we're going to try to like make our Patreon page, like the public side of it, kind of a bit of a touch base in general, so that like you can go and you can like see the and participate in the polls. And we'll be like posting some stuff up there. Like a couple of weeks ago, we posted up the full length video of the Smelly Cat music video. So if you haven't checked that out, you should go watch the full thing anyway. And we're going to try to do that, like just make that be the touch base for things. And then that way, anyone, like if you're not on Instagram and you're don't like Meta/Facebook, that's great. That's fine. I just head over to our Patreon and you can be a part of everything.
Yeah. Quinn and I are trying to get better at Instagram. Quinn like does social media marketing stuff for a living. So that already takes up a lot of their like day and life. And so it can be hard when you already do something all the time to then transfer it into other projects. At least that's how I feel it is for me. And I've like kind of ran away from Instagram for reasons that will not be disclosed on this podcast, but just embarrassing myself a whole lot is really why I'm running away from Instagram. All that to say that let me tell you the beautiful story of how I got COVID, because Quinn should also have COVID right now, but Quinn does not have COVID.
Oh, magic. I'm like, I definitely have COVID now. I don't know why. I just
stop
feel like
saying that. You don't have COVID. Like, you're
so nervous.
You've taken like so many tests and you have like very few symptoms, and it's been over a week.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay. All this to say that Quinn and I never leave the house. As you know, you listen to our podcast, you know, we never leave the house. But on Friday, last Friday, not this past Friday, Friday, April 1st. Yes. Oh my God, it was like a big old April Fool's joke.
So funny.
Quinn and I decided that we would leave our house. We went back to the bar that I used to work at / our group of friends used to hang out at all the time. We went for a friend's birthday party. It's a pool hall. So we were playing pool. We were having a great time, but we were like, you know, wearing our masks when we weren't drinking non-alcoholic drinks, et cetera, et cetera. We were like not being like hyper cautious, but we were like, being like smart about,
I think like
out.
An important part of this, our friends had rented the back room of the bar for a celebration. Yeah. And there was probably about like 12 of us in a very, very large room that could like easily fit like
30. I've seen it fit like 50 people.
Yeah, there you go. So like there was like 12 of us in a giant space. There's a pool table and it's kind of L-shaped. So it's not like everyone crammed into a small space. We actually had a space separate from the bar itself.
And also Quebec right now, like bars are open at full capacity. Restaurants are open at full capacity. You no longer need a vaccine to go to places. Mind you, Quinn and I are triple vaccinated. All of our friends who are in that space, from as far as I know, are also triple vaccinated or at least double vaccinated, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. We go, we have a good time. It's great. We said we were only going to go for an hour and a half, because that's like the maximum socializing that you and I can normally handle. But then we ended up staying for longer. We were there for 3 hours. We came home at around 12:30. We like were walking into our apartments and I turned to look at Quinn. And Quinn, I don't know if you remember this, but I turned to look at Quinn and I say, Quinn, we definitely got COVID tonight.
Okay, and Emily, I just want to point out though, and even though you're like, see, I said so.
I always say
that every time we enter the house. After going to like the store.
That's not true. If we go to like bigger events, I say that, but we haven't really been to very many big events, but I was like 100% convinced. And so I told Quinn, I was like, I'm not going to go anywhere this weekend. I'm not going to do anything on the Saturday and Sunday. Like I'm not going to go out. I'm not going to, you know, go to yoga classes, go to a cafe, whatever it is. I'm just going to stay in just in case. And good thing I did, because on Monday afternoon, I started to present symptoms. Quinn still didn't have any symptoms, even though we hung out all on the Sunday together.
We had a 4 hour long podcast meeting and talked to each other within
face
like
to face.
Our faces were like 3 feet away from each other, chatting at each other the whole entire time. 4 hours.
Yeah. So Quinn never got it. Six of our friends or five of our friends at the bar that night also got COVID. So it was definitely like just something that we all picked up from the bar. Yeah. And I got it pretty bad. I like was really super not feeling well on Tuesday, like could barely even keep my eyes open. It hurt my head to keep my eyes open. Like Wednesday I started feeling a little better, but like basically it's been now a week, almost a week since I first presented symptoms and my voice still sounds like this. Okay, let's get into the episode because we've been chatting for 10 minutes now.
Anyway, hi everyone. So we're recording the episode and yeah, we're going to have a Patreon episode come out soon too as well. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. All that to say that we're going to do the same format that we did last episode, which is like to go through a bit of the summary of the episode and then talk about the episode as a whole and our thoughts and feelings on the episode as a whole. So we've got kind of the Phoebe visiting her dad story. We've got the bullies story and we've got the Monica trading stocks story. So this episode starts where the group is hanging out at Monica and Rachel's apartment. They're all eating food together. It's like a classic, all the friends are together on the couches, you know, chatting about things.
But they have the stock market channel on in the background.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Monica is watching the stocks and she's basically implies that she doesn't really do anything with her day except for watch the stocks because she gets very excited when she sees her initials, which is the name of a stock. MEG. Anyways, and she gets pretty excited about that every time it comes up and Rachel kind of gives her a dig and says, you really need to get a job. You find out that Monica has a job interview coming up. So she's going to be going to that. And then there's this like kind of weird interaction. And then Phoebe all of a sudden is like, there you go. It's a sign that I need to go see my dad. So last time we kind of saw that Phoebe was going to go see her dad was at the beginning of season two, I think the Christmas episode of season two, if I'm not incorrect.
Yeah.
And so now she's decided that she wants to go back to see her dad. And so I'll just follow that plot line till the end. So Phoebe decides she's going to go see her dad. Rachel and Joey go with Phoebe back to visit the dad's house. They're in the back in the cab portion of Phoebe's grandmother's cab. Phoebe leaves the cab to go say hi to her dad and she gets attacked by the dog that is staying at the house, the dog that belongs to the house of her dad's. Does that make sense? Her dad's house's dog, because it turns out you think it's her dad's dog, but it's actually not her dad's dog because anyways, all this to say that Phoebe decides to not go in because the dog was an omen, a bad omen, a beast at the threshold or whatever she says. And so they decide to leave. And as she's leaving and pulling the cab away, she runs over the dog, which is some bad news bears right there. Yeah. And the worst.
I feel so bad for her. Oh my God.
That's such a good scene, though. It's like such this moment of cringe from all of their faces. And then Phoebe has a line where she's just like, what does she say? She goes like, what was that? Like innocently being like, what do you think that was? It definitely wasn't the dog. We definitely didn't hear it whine as it came underneath the wheels. Like brutal. Yeah. And so they end up taking the dog to the vet and she decides that she's going to take the dog back. Joey calls Phoebe's dad because Phoebe says she doesn't want to meet her dad over the phone. Turns out it's not Phoebe's dad on the other line. It's a woman on the other line.
And so Joey takes on like this really weird, like Batman voice to like communicate that the dog is going to be delivered back.
I know. It's so
we have your dog.
So he leaves a message telling her, like the woman, that he has their dog and they're going to drop it off. So Phoebe then goes to return the dog only to find out that her dad actually doesn't live there anymore. Basically, her dad left his other family as well. So he went out for groceries 4 years ago and never came back. So not only has this really excellent dude abandoned his wife and two baby daughters, he's also abandoned his second wife and his other child. So
also, okay, so stay tuned. If you miss this last week or whatnot, we have a new section of our podcast called Spoily Zone. And it's basically an extra long episode where we just add this period of time at the end of the episode where we talk about the episode, but like in context of the entire 10 series. And so I think we're going to have a lot to talk about Phoebe's dad and Phoebe's like family dynamic stuff. Sure. So stay tuned. If you aren't a patron, you can hop over to our Patreon account and become a patron. And then you can listen to the extra long episode. And if you are a patron, just go listen to it.
And also, by the way, in case people don't already know, on Patreon, we have a private RSS feed and you can get access to it. So like you literally don't have to even go to Patreon to listen to our bonus episodes.
That's true.
You'll have to initially go to Patreon to get the RSS feed link and then you add it to your Apple Podcast, whatever podcast directory you listen to. And then you don't actually have to navigate to Patreon every time we put out a bonus episode. So it'll be just right there for you to listen to, which makes it really convenient. So instead of listening to like our regular episode that comes out, you'll be able to listen to the special episode that's on the RSS feed. Yes.
Spoily Zone episode.
So then while all this is happening, Ross and Chandler decide that they're going to go to Central Perk one day before they go to play racquetball. But then they decide not to play racquetball and just stay at Central Perk. When they sit down on the classic Central Perk orange couch, two dudes are assholes who tell them not to sit there. Basically, two guys come up and they're like, oh, that's our spot. And these guys try to kick them out of Central Perk. Basically.
And they steal Chandler's hat. Ross tries to stick up for Chandler. And then I think they run into them again another time later. And essentially, they're already there. And then the bullies are telling them to leave. Ross pulls out the Gunther card and is like, Gunther, these guys are telling us to leave. We've already had these seats, though, or something like that. And the bullies are all like, I can't believe you told on us. And then they challenge them to a fight. And then Chandler and Ross are clearly scared of going back to the cafe. So they tried making cappuccino, spelled with a K, at home, which is like out of a packet. And it's the type of old food technology where you have to like do the stir and drink method, which I feel like anyone from the 90s or before will actually remember, but we can talk about that later. And then Joey's like all, you know, like, I don't know, grandfather mafioso kind of being like, don't worry. When I get back from my christening that I'm going to, I'll bring you downstairs. We'll have a good coffee together. Don't you worry.
You said grandfather mafiosa when you definitely meant godfather.
Yeah, that's definitely what I meant. Whatever. That's
excellent.
And then, you know, Chandler and Ross are like, no, we're going to go do this on our own. And then they go down to go do it on their own. They have coffee really quickly, burn their tongues, obviously, and then run out of the cafe after like one sip and run right into the bullies. And then they all decide they're going to fight. I'm going to start deciphering what are the grounds for the fight. And, you know, like no watches and then no punching each other in the face because, you know, blah, blah, blah. One of the bullies is trying with his wife, we find out. So no punching below the belt and no crotchular zone. And then
closer to the mic to say that it was very uncomfortable to witness.
And then they had put all of their expensive and sharp things that they wear, like their watches and rings, into a hat on the mailbox behind them. And then people obviously steal it. I say obviously, but like, I mean, it's New York. So, and then they all have to, you know, group together and chase after the common evil and retrieve their items. And then they all come back and they're all buddy buddies. But one of the bullies still won't give Chandler back his hat.
His way chasing after the people, and he fell and bumped his head by falling over, I think they say, a little girl skipping rope.
Exactly. And then for Monica's storyline, we have her. So she doesn't want to go work at the 50s restaurant. And so she, after, rewind.
So I'm trying to see if you think you're doing better at this than I am doing. I think that it's pretty even. I'm going to do this one. So that job interview that we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, Monica goes to check it out. Turns out it's a 50 themes restaurant in which she'll have to be wearing fake boobs and a blonde wig, but she has $127 in her account. So she feels like she has to take the position, except suddenly she decides that she's going to instead put that $127 of her money into stocks because she suddenly decides that she's going to know how stocks work. She calls operation, I guess. Operation. That's not the word. She calls
operator.
Thank you.
411.
411. And she wants to know the telephone number for the stock selling place. Everyone makes fun of her. Monica then basically gets really, really intense with stocks. She then loses all her money, her $127 in stocks, and she loses the money, tries to borrow money from Rachel. And it's just like, is clear that she is super, super desperate to do anything that she possibly can to not take this job because she feels it's a real big step down from what she was doing before. But ultimately, she decides to take the job. And we get an excellent scene at the end of the episode in which Monica is doing the YMCA dressed in a pink dress, blonde wig,
glasses,
fake boobs, and she's doing the YMCA on top of the diner counter with her colleagues, her new colleagues. So that's the entire episode. Thank you for being here. We're going to call it a day.
No, the episode's just beginning now. We have to get better at this summarizing at the beginning of the episode and then talking about the episode after. Like,
yeah.
I feel like we need to be like each storyline in 60 seconds or less.
I don't know. It's interesting because I feel as though if we find a way for you to interrupt me like well, and like we kind of have like side conversations on things,
are you saying that I don't interrupt?
No, I just mean, okay, anyways, you don't listen to the You Are Good podcast. So like, whatever, you don't get it. But I've been trying to convince Quinn to listen to You Are Good, which by the way, everyone should listen to that You Are Good podcast because it's super fun. And if you like movies and talking about feelings, it's really a good one to listen to. They used to be called Why Are Dads, but now they're called You Are Good. And it's a fun...
If I don't stop Emily, she will literally just talk about it for the next 20 minutes.
Okay. Anyways, so tell me, Quinn, what are like three big things that you want to talk about in this episode?
Oh, wow. I totally forgot that we do that. Partly just because we've changed the structure. Well, okay. Some things that come up for me in this is like, is personal finance and investing. And I just like need to go into that and talk about it because I feel like we don't talk about it enough in our culture. You know, like in a healthy way, not like the type of way. Anyway, whatever. We'll talk about it later.
I want to talk about Phoebe's relationship with her dad and like the, basically that whole storyline, I think requires a little bit of deep diving considering that the episode before this is the one where old Yeller dies or the one with old Yeller or whatever. And we talk a lot about how Phoebe was so sheltered. It's like we get two episodes in a row with a really intense Phoebe backstory. And so, yeah, it'd be interesting to deep dive into that a little bit.
Which we will do even more in our Patreon only episode.
Yeah. We're going to do a short little like 20 minute or so Patreon only episode that will be about Phoebe's backstory. So stay tuned for that. That'll be coming out this month.
I feel like we've been promoting Patreon too much, but it's really just that we're very, very excited about the things that we're doing on there now.
Yes.
Sorry, guys.
For sure. Yeah.
So, okay. And why don't we pick one of the stories and let's delve into it.
Okay, cool. Another thing though, that like I want to talk about too, is like basically the portrayal of bullying in this episode, because like, I think you and I have differentiating opinions on it. We talked a little bit about it like when we watched the episode together. And I think like it'll be interesting to talk about what this bullying actually, I don't know. I think that bullying doesn't actually show up like this in everyday life. I think like this dynamic is really not realistic, which like, you know, not saying that everything else on Friends is realistic, but it feels like this in particular, it feels like they might as well have like pushed them to the ground and said, give me your lunch money, kid. Like it feels like very much a caricature of what bullies actually are. So anyways, I want to talk about that.
Cool. So which story do you want to go into first?
Let's talk about Phoebe's dad.
Okay, cool. So Phoebe's dad, I think it's very cute, first of all, how she's like really... like just like the random things that she's like, oh my God, the universe is telling me to go do this. And it's so funny because it's kind of like a demonstration of how sometimes when, quote, the universe is telling you to do this, unquote, is really your subconscious is telling you to do it. You know what I mean? Like there's a part of you.
Yeah, the sign is seeing the signs to begin with.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like the fact that you're continuously being reminded of it, it's being surfaced. It's because it's something that like, you know, I think in like in her case, it's like she's ready now and she needs to go do it, you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, in this scene, we also get like a really uncomfortable joke, which is racist, when Phoebe is basically saying that there's so many things that remind her of her dad's name, you know, she sees a buffet, which is his last name, as she sees hot dogs, which are Frank's, which is his first name. And then she sees like spinning chicken, and Monica says, which is his Indian name, which is like super gross. And like, you know what I think though? I honestly think that they would still do a joke like that nowadays.
Interesting.
I think like that is a thing that they think that they would still do. Like I honestly would not be surprised if a sitcom has not made a joke like that similarly in the last like 5 years. But anyways.
Yeah, very possibly. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of things that like remind her of her dad. And like you were saying, I think it's really interesting to see this. Clearly she is wanting to already see him, and she's already made the decision to see him, and these signs are kind of just an excuse to go to follow the signs or follow what she already wanted to do, I guess.
Yeah. What I love about this storyline is how, I mean, yes, it is a TV show. And therefore, Phoebe going alone would be a lot less interesting than her going with friends. But what I love is that like Joey and Rachel go with her just to support her, you know?
Yeah.
And what in the DVD version of this episode, you have this scene that's shortened, I think, or completely cut out, where Joey is sitting on the couch with Rachel he's like explaining to Rachel, he's like, so I've been dad hunting with Phoebe before, and you know, we're really just there to like support her. And you know, like he's like explaining it to Rachel of like giving her like an idea of what this is going to look like. And I mean, there's some like jokes in there and whatnot, but I think that that's like, I just love that scene so much because it's just really like solidifying how, you know, like our friends are there to help us do the hard things. Like they can't always do it for us, you know, and like that's never really the point, but like just to have someone next to you while you do the hard things is like a very important part of like relationships in your life, you know?
I love that. I feel like some of like my favorite times in which I felt supported by a friend was like me literally just being like, I need you to sit next to me while I write this hard email, or I need you to sit next to me while I like file my taxes, like just like wanting to have someone who like you like both as like a push to do it when it's hard, you know, like both for like the emotional support side of things and the like, okay, like the accountability side of things too, you know? Yeah. So I find it's interesting because like part of me wonders if she wants them there for both of those reasons as well, you know, one for the emotional support, but also for like the accountability, like I need to go in, you know, which I find interesting.
And it's just like being able to like hold the space for you while you do this really difficult thing. Oh, I love it. So beautiful.
Then obviously when she sees her dad's partner, I guess, or wife, or realizing first that she's like, she goes to the front door, she drops off the dog and she asks to see Frank. And then it's Frank Jr. that comes to the door. But there's that like moment where she like yells Frank and you hear someone's voice yell back saying, yeah, come in or whatever. And you can see in her face, like Phoebe's like, this moment of like, I'm about to meet him. It's happening. I'm about to meet him. And then it's like Frank Jr. who comes to the door and she basically finds out that he's just not there because he left 4 years ago. And like, it just sucks that like, again, Phoebe like did all this emotional work to like build herself up to do it. She's going to fucking do it. And like, there's another obstacle that prevents her from actually seeing him. And like, it's kind of wild to think because like, you know, the season before, or no, at Christmas, like when she was riling herself up to see him again, he wasn't even there. Like he'd already been gone for so long. And like, it's just like, it makes me think a lot of like how often that happens where you like really like take all this emotional energy to like process something or get yourself ready to do it. And then it doesn't happen in the way you expect it to happen, or like it can't happen at all. And you kind of just like feel like let down, but also relieved at the same time. Like this, like, oh, okay. Like preparing for a bit, like obviously it's very different, but like preparing for a big presentation and then finding out that like you actually don't have to be the one to present it or something like that. You know, it's like you put all this time and energy and work and like you're processing things and you're trying to figure it out, and then you don't have to do it. And it's like, oh, I'm glad I don't have to do it, but also I wanted to do it, you know? And like,
yeah, like relief and disappointment at the same time.
Yeah. Very, very different when it's like a presentation versus meeting your dad who like abandoned you when you were a baby. But I just think that that's like a lot to process.
Yeah. But I also really, really love like the first interaction between Phoebe and her brother. Like, first of all, let's point out that like last season, we saw Phoebe's brother. He dropped a condom accidentally into her guitar case when she was performing on the street, and he came back to come get it. So like we've met him before, if you didn't recognize him. And I just love, like, I don't know, I find him a very interesting character. And I think that the actor does a fairly good job at what, like the way that he like closes the door behind him. He's like, wait, lady, wait up. And like clambers down the stairs, and the, their interaction is just like so cute. And, you know, she doesn't get the dad that she was looking for, but she got a brother, which is like kind of cool, you know?
Yeah. It's like, it's really interesting because like at the beginning of the episode, she says like, I don't know if I want to do it like this. Like he's my, like my dad is the only family I have left. Like my grandfather's not doing, my grandmother's like not going to be around forever. And my sister hasn't really talked to me. And like, you know, I have no more family left. And then like, she was hoping to meet her dad because she wanted more family, and she didn't get to meet her dad, but she ends up getting more family through her brother. And like, I guess this is kind of a spoily, but like he will come back in later episodes, you know?
I also have a couple of questions that I want your input on. First of all, how did the dog's ear get ripped off in this process?
Interesting.
I just, like every time I watch it, I'm like, how did that happen? I don't understand. Doesn't make sense.
Maybe.
Are we going to get really gory here?
Yeah, maybe you don't want to talk about this. But I was going to say, maybe his ear got stuck under the wheel when he got rolled over. And then he like was panicky and freaked out. And
Okay. Let's stop there. Let's just
ran away. There. Yeah, you don't want to hear about this. No one wants to hear
he
about
it. He couldn't run away.
Dog.
He had like broken legs and ribs. And
yeah, I honestly do not understand how that dog lived. Like that sounds like awful. Okay, I don't really understand why this dog was like loose to begin with. Yeah. Like clearly he's going to run in front of cars. He's a very intense dog. And so I don't know if like the dog got lost. Like,
yeah, and
the
also
dog
like
was
clearly
accidentally left out.
Yeah. Like clearly like the dog was out there like all day.
Like, yeah. And no
the
one
dog parents are not such good dog.
Dog
parents. Like I don't understand. Yeah. You don't leave a dog out in your front lawn all day off leash. Yeah. I also want to point out the dog's name was Schnoodle.
Oh, I never noticed that.
Yeah. When she's like Schnoodle. And
I thought it was like a pet name she was giving it. I didn't know it was actually called Schnoodle.
No, it was an actual pet name. That was a genuine laugh. Wow.
I like your puns. Anyways, yeah. So yeah, also, so she ends up with a brother, which is, oh, sorry. You had other questions.
Well, I just wanted to add, well, I have two other things that I want to talk about in this storyline. One is just a little fun fact that if you watch the DVD version, there's a scene where the dog is like barking into the car. And you can actually see the head of the person holding up the dog or like basically making sure the dog doesn't like fall and injure themselves. So like you can see his head, like little, his hair on in the window of the taxi. It's really funny.
Nice.
That's yeah. Fun fact.
And there's actually another fun fact trivia thing that I noticed this episode that probably wouldn't have shown up on the DVD. In fact, because so I don't know if people know this, but the episodes were originally filmed in a 4:3 ratio. And then when they were converted into like streaming, it was turned to like a 16:9 ratio, whatever that is. So like it became widescreen versus more like square-ish in the way it was filmed. And what you see at one point is when Monica says, she picks up the newspaper and says, hey, like I went up, my stock went up. She says, hey, but the camera is on her face and you actually, her mouth isn't moving. So like she says, hey, and it's put in afterwards. But if it was a 4:3, you wouldn't have seen her because she's really on the side of it. So when they opened, like when they turned it into 16:9, she's actually in the shot.
And oh, so interesting. I didn't know that about like the dimensions changing. That's cool.
Oh yeah. You see a bunch of things. Like there's even a, it was like a huge thing on the internet a few years ago when it first came onto Netflix. But there's like an entire moment, an entire scene where Phoebe is talking to someone who is supposed to be Monica, but it's actually a completely different actress who's sitting in. Because clearly like they just had a stand-in for that day for Phoebe's side of the conversation.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and it's a completely different actress, not at all Monica. And you see her fully, like her full face.
What?
It happens in like season 6 or 7. So we're a while away from it, but.
Okay. Yeah, but I need to look that up later. That's really cool. Sure. Okay. The last thing I wanted to bring up in this storyline
is the olive sandwich.
Yeah. But it's not the thing that you think I'm going to say.
Oh.
That like like clearly, yes, it's a gross sandwich, but that's not the important part here. I just want to point out, like, first, the note that I took down was like, oh, so funny and cute how Joey packed himself a snack. And then I was like thinking about it. I'm like, oh, Joey, you're so cute. And then I was just like, it's like such like a dude thing that like men are so socialized to like just take care of themselves. And I feel like it, like femme folks are so much more socialized to like also take care of everyone around them. And it's just such a dude thing to like be like, I'm going to bring a sandwich for myself and bring no snacks for everyone else and expect to just eat it in front of everyone, you know, like, whereas like,
I don't know, like normally I would agree with you, but I think Joey is always eating food. Like that's a big joke with Joey. Like, I don't think they were planning to be gone long enough to require food, but I think Joey just like always eats and therefore he brought food.
Right. I don't know. I just feel like Monica offers a bite down would have brought food for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Like 100%. And then, you know, it's just like, that's just like Phoebe probably would have brought cookies for everyone. Like if she would have brought food, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like not very often they show this, but like, it's just a thought, like in this world in general, like this is a thing that happens and it's so normalized for like, I don't know, a dude to bring food for just himself and, you know,
anyway. Yeah, interesting. You know, if I think about it, I feel like they eat food a lot on the show Friends. Like, I don't really know very many sitcoms now that I'm like thinking back on them in which like, they're just like kind of always eating. Like there's food in almost every scene.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, they're actually eating too. Like,
yeah,
I think that there's a lot of other sitcoms where it's like there is food as a prop to indicate that they are eating, were eating, or just about to eat. But yeah, Friends is like, there's a few things with Friends when they decided to do it that they were like kind of like anti like the mainstream sitcom that was like again, like we talked about this in like the first few episodes of season one, but for those who didn't listen to it or, you know, forgot, just like sitcoms in that era. And even now, like what's very typical is that the backgrounds would be like an off gray or a beige. And that has a lot to do with the lighting in like the type of set that you have for a sitcom. And you have all of these cameras at different angles all at once. And so the lighting that has to be put up has to basically still like from every angle, you still have to have like the actors stand out from the background essentially, which is like a fairly difficult thing to do. But how Friends kind of approached it is that they were like, no, we don't want our sitcom to be like, you know, like a typical sitcom. We want it to actually feel relatable, like feel like real life, like you've been dropped into people's lives and are watching them. And then 5 years later, we have reality TV. But
nothing says relatable quite like living in a 2-bedroom apartment in Manhattan on a no salary job and a coffee shop job.
Okay, yeah, let's circle back to that later. But so like Friends was fairly like revolutionary in a sense because it had like, it has the purple walls. It has, you know, like the cupboards don't even have like doors on them, right? They're like open cupboards. So you have all these different like knickknacks and colors and details in the background. And, you know, in the coffee shop, the same thing, it looks like a actual coffee shop. And they even went so far as to make sure that they were continuously changing what was like on the shelves in different areas, like throughout the seasons. And in the cafe, apparently there's a couple of shelves that like they made sure that like, it was like every episode it was different because like in a typical cafe, like it wouldn't have been the same books or magazines that would be there and stuff like that. So why That's did I go on this tangent?
I forget.
But anyway, we went on that tangent and
about the realism of the show. I forget what it was. Anyways, wow, that's bad. We don't even remember how we got in that tangent.
Yeah, okay. You have an excuse. I don't.
We've been it's called ADD.
No, it's not that. I definitely have COVID. I'm
oh my God.
I'm convinced I have it.
You should take a rapid test after this if you really are that convinced. Okay, so we've been talking for 45 minutes. So let's chat about Monica's story. Okay, cool.
Okay, guys, we're gonna have a fun conversation about the stock market.
Oh God, Quinn's going to give us a lesson. Please don't give us like a lesson.
As you can tell, Emily has been subjected to me talking about personal finance a little too much.
It's because of you that I switched to Tangerine, and I'm very thankful for that. So I'm not mad about that.
And you now invest.
Yeah, except the stock market right now is bullshit. Everything is terrible.
Everything is awful. Yeah.
Anyways, continue.
So Monica has $127 in her bank account. She decides that she's going to invest it all into MEG. What's her middle name? Monica Emily Geller?
I don't know. Maybe. Emma? No. Emily?
Monica Eliza Geller.
We can obviously look this up, but continue.
And she's desperate, so she decides to buy MEG. Now, let's just talk here about a few things, just because I feel like this is something that's like glossed over. I feel like in this episode, they sort of like laugh at her a little. Emily, what's your face for?
Oh, sorry. I'm just looking up. It doesn't say anywhere. It just says her name is Monica E. Geller. It doesn't say anywhere else where her, what her middle name is. So
I think it should be Emily.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it is because Ross dates Emily. But also, isn't there the scene that in which, like last episode, in which Ross and Rachel are fighting? And he says that like he thought of a baby name, Emily, and he found it in the big book of names.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be, yeah.
It wouldn't be Emily because, and Emma is what Monica later on wants to name her child. She seems just like, mentions that she wants to have one of her kids' names to be Emma one day is what she says.
Yeah.
And so How many other names exist that start with E?
Eliza. Elsa.
Maybe Eliza. Edgar. Is Eliza a Jewish name? I feel like it maybe Eliza is a Jewish name because that would make sense.
Yeah, that would. Okay, anyway, I want to get back to actually talking about the storyline. So I want to point out that
Elizabeth. Wow, we're stupid.
Okay, Emily, you need to put that down. Come back. Okay, come back to me.
Okay, continue.
So I want to point out that there's a difference between day trading and investing, everyone. Investing is something that pretty much everyone should and can be doing at any point in their life. And you should not be waiting until you have a salaried job because realistically, the majority of us do not have salaried jobs and therefore don't wait for a salaried job. And nowadays there's things like different robo investing accounts, like, you know, Wealthsimple Invest, or there's Modern Advisor. These are both in Canada. Questrade is also another Canadian one. I don't really know the ones. Maybe Questrade is in the US as well. I'm not entirely sure, but there's lots of them that exist out there and are definitely worth looking into. And like, even if it's like $10 a month that you put into it, but on the other side, day trading and buying individual stocks like MEG is the worst idea in the world, unless you're someone who actually knows what you're doing. And so Monica, deciding that she's going to put $127, all of the money that she has in her bank, into buying one stock or one company's stock is like, and then you see her like going on and she's like doing day trading. I guess I just really wanted to like clarify the difference between like day trading versus investing. So like she's buying individual stocks and how she's playing the game is that like she's investing in stocks that look like they're going up and then she's getting out of them before they go down. And this is a thing that people will actually do. They do extensive research and understand the stock market fairly well. People will still argue that it's like a fool's game, but people do it. And some people do make money off of it. It's a high risk lifestyle. And anyway, I just wanted to point out the difference between day trading and investing. This is not.
So basically you shouldn't get the number for the stock buying place.
Don't go to 411 and be like, hey, operator, please let me buy stock. But point me in the right direction.
Not going to work very well. Yeah. And we see that it doesn't work very well for her because she loses all her money. she's like stoked because she's like, I made $17 before breakfast. What did you do today? And Joey goes, well, I ate here. So technically I saved $3.50.
And it's so rude, especially when she's like desperate because she's like, has no money and he's eating her food anyway.
Hilarious because there's a scene later. I don't know if it's already happened or if it's later on where Joey goes, how much would you pay me to eat this whole jar of olives? And she goes, I won't pay you anything, but you'll owe me $3.50 or like $1.75 or something. And he's like, challenge accepted or something. Done. Classic.
Oh man, what was he gonna say? Frig. Okay, anyway.
Buying stocks. Yeah. She doesn't do well with stocks. She loses all her money.
Oh, right. Okay. What I wanted to say is that like, so she's day trading. It's possible that she like got out and then made that $17, but like, realistically, if you put money into the stock market, the amount of money that you have made or gained or lost is not actually real until you like sell whatever it is that you own within the stock market. So like if you put money into the stock market and the stock market drops, you haven't lost any money until you've actually pulled out. I just wanted to point that out. So like this episode, I think it's funny, but part of me is like, there's not enough information about personal finance and investing for us to have clear concepts of this. Anyway, whatever. We can move on. I do want to point out at the moment where like Phoebe goes to call her dad or get Joey to call her dad to tell them about the dog situation. And Monica is like, don't be too long with the phone. And like, is like kind of mean. I was thinking about it because I'm like, oh my God, remember the days where it's like we all just shared one landline? And like, we are currently in the days where it's like if it was back then, like Monica and Rachel and Joey and Chandler would be like sharing internet, right? Like that's probably what would be And like, I'm thinking of us where it's like, we're in a similar situation. Like, do you think that like, if we were like, you know, students or whatever and needed to like save the money that we would like share a landline? Like, do you think that was like, that would be a thing?
I don't think so. I think like we'd each have our own landline for sure. Like Monica and Joey, like the two apartments have separate landlines.
No, I know they do, but I'm thinking like us, like if we lived in that time, do you think that we would share?
I don't think so. I think we'd have separate landlines and we would call each other a lot on them.
Oh, that's true. No, we would have more of a reason to have walkie-talkies. That's what would happen.
I don't know. Oh my God. Imagine living in our current apartments without internet. We wouldn't be able to work from home. We'd have to go places to work.
That's true.
Wow. Thank you, internet. Love you. Anyways, wow. That blew me away for a second. Okay. We have been chatting for a while and we haven't touched on the bullies episode, bullies part of the episode. So do you want to start by telling me a little bit about what your thoughts are on this portrayal of bullying? Do you think, okay, let me start by saying, do you think that this is a realistic portrayal of bullying?
So, okay.
Okay, wait, I need to stop you for a second. I can literally hear you through the floor.
I can hear you through the floor or through my
ceiling. Really?
Yeah.
It makes me realize that we must bother our neighbors so much when we record this podcast.
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyways, continue. Good thing we don't do it late at night. Continue.
I was going to say. So, okay. Emily, I preface that we had a conversation about it when we initially watched the episode together. We like watched a bunch of the episodes together in advance a while ago. And I guess like what came to mind for me is like, initially I'm like, this is so unrealistic. It's like kind of annoying. Like it reminds me of like a 90s movie that came out where like, oh man, I'm going to forget what the name of the movie was, but maybe you guys remember. It had like one of the mainstream, maybe it was like Adam Sandler, who like had a kid and he was like getting bullied for like a parking spot at his office. And one of like his coworkers was like bullying him. And so he decides to like get strong and like fight him or something like that. Yeah, it's like, and it's very similar to this, where it's like this portrayal of bullies that it's like a caricature of bullies, but then it's also then implanted on like adults being bullies. And, but what I find like, and so there's a part of it that like bothers me, like that that movie always kind of like annoyed me. And I was just like, what's the, like, this is ridiculous. And then as we were watching this episode, I was sort of reflecting on it. And I was sort of thinking like in our world, like this concept of bullies, like we turn it into like this, but then I was reflecting on it from like a standpoint of like racism in society and how like it's easy, like there's like this mentality does exist.
And but it's more identity based usually.
And it's usually more identity based. And it's like, there are people who are like, these people of color do not belong in my cafe. Get out of my cafe. Like, this is my place now because we're here. We are superior. And like, and so like, I guess it just like got me reflecting on this. And it was just sort of like, it's like, I've never experienced like overt racism, but overt racism does exist, and it could look a lot like this, you know? And I think that that's something that's like, I don't know. It was just like a thought process that I had while watching this episode. Yeah.
But I think that that kind of goes with what I was saying about how I don't feel like this is a realistic portrayal of bullying, because I really don't think that, like, I can't imagine two like white dudes walking into a cafe and telling two other white dudes not to sit there for just the sole sake of like seeing them and being like, I don't like you, and having zero like basis for that. I just think like usually the basis comes from some sort of power dynamic, whether it's a race power dynamic, whether it's a classism power dynamic, whatever it is. But there's like, there's no power dynamic here. Like, they're both wearing decent suits. They clearly both have like good jobs. Like, they're all like normal middle-aged white dudes. Like, you could literally replace one for the other.
But it's 20. Interesting, because then at the end of the story, it's like they were all able to like come together and overcome their non-differences, essentially. And like,
yeah, but that's what it is. Like, and like, guys are gonna go like hit on women after this and be shitty to like people of color after this. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they're just like, they're like having a moment of like bullying each other for literally zero reason at all. And like, they can literally remove that dynamic at any point and become the aggressor without any thought behind it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a weird.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, it makes for this story having like a happy ending in a sense, and makes like this whole thing kind of like feel more and more removed from being realistic. And whereas like, I feel like the majority of times, like this type of quote unquote bullying happens, which is really more of what's it called? I'm trying to use the like racism, but also for like extending that
oppression.
Yeah. But anyway, maybe there's not a word. Maybe my brain is making up a word.
Identity-based oppression. I don't know what you're not sure.
Identity-based discrimination, let's say, you know, like that's different, and it doesn't typically have as happy of an ending, you know? But
I have two thoughts on this. So first thought is that obviously it's a TV show, and that's what makes this plotline funny, is the fact that it's for literally zero reason these people are being bullies. Like, there's no reason behind it. Like, it's clearly just like two dudes who felt like, who woke up that day and decided to be dicks to these other two dudes, you know? And like, and that's part of what the joke is throughout the episode, is that like, they're very like, you know, Ross says it at one point. He's like, these guys were bullies. They were actual bullies. Like, he's even taken aback by this behavior because it feels so unrealistic. And that's kind of what part of the joke is throughout the episode, is them not really realizing that this is actually happening. Like, when one of them says, all right, let's take this outside, you know, Ross is literally like, let's take this outside. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, what is happening here? Like, they're both like so shocked by this like complete.
But that's kind of what I'm saying, is that like, they're like completely being surprised by it has a lot to do with the fact that they are a couple of white dudes. You know what I mean? Like, whereas if they weren't these like white, cis, straight, able-bodied men, you know, like there would be less of a surprise to this right. concept, you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
Like they're just like shocked, like, oh my God, these are bullies, you know, like, yeah. but it's like this sort of like belief that they like should be immune to this type of behavior essentially,
yeah.
or that this and behavior doesn't exist, you know, like they're like, don't believe that this behavior exists because they are not subjected to it ever, you know? And I think that that's also something that's like about the episode that kind of like gets me a little bit, you know?
Yeah. It's also interesting because like, you know, the other times that I feel like this kind of bullying happens is when like a man is being effeminate, you know, like when a dude is like being like quote unquote girly or into girly things or like you're being a homo or whatever it is, you know, like this, like when a man is not portraying like typical masculine qualities, he can definitely get bullied by his yeah. peers, you know? And so I find it interesting that they didn't really do any portrayal of Ross and Chandler as being more effeminate in this episode.
Yeah. And I guess like that's sort of like, I guess like that's maybe what gets me, like I'm trying to like pinpoint it. Like, it's just the fact that like, it's easy to watch this episode and be like, this is not real. This type of bullying doesn't exist. But yeah. there's no acknowledgement to the fact that like, it only doesn't exist because we're talking about two white cis men who are very gender conforming, who, or at least like within their portrayal here. There's no like, quote unquote reason, but it wouldn't like, you know, but like in any other, like, you know, like,
right. It's in any other context,
because there isn't a reason because right. they should not be bullied, but
right. Right.
Had they been portrayed as like, you know, maybe having an effeminate moment or like anything else, you know, like then it's like, oh no, like this is a realistic thing that happens all the fucking time. And like, yeah. this is the world that we live in. You yeah. know?
And it's also, it almost feels like interesting that like they bully each other all the time. Like,
it's not like this though.
No, of course not. Of course okay. not. But like, I mean, in the sense that like when we use the term bullying, we think of it in this way. We think of it in this, like, because we use a different word for it. Otherwise, you know, we use the term racism when it's like clearly bullying because someone is being racist or because someone's being sexist or because someone's being homophobic or whatever it is. But like, because there's no identity-based discrimination happening, that's when we use, I feel like, the term bullying most, is when it's like termed to like, I don't know, it's an interesting, and we use the term bullying specifically often for children as well and not really for adults. And it's like often described as this like unprompted being mean to someone. Like there's no reason behind it. And someone is just being mean for the sake of being mean. When we are talking about any like race-based discrimination, you know, anti-fat bias, whatever it is, that stuff is not usually used with the term bullying. Actually, anti-fat bias is when you use the term. People often will say bullying when it comes to anti-fat bias. And that's probably because we don't really acknowledge like fat phobia as a real thing in yeah. our society.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's so interesting.
Boom.
Yeah. yeah.
Because we call it like it is when it's happening for like homophobia or racism or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, we say we, but like, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who don't, you know, yeah. who are just being yeah. like, oh yeah, he was being a bully for calling that kid the N-word. And you're like, no, that's not bullying. That's racism. Like, that's like, but it's interesting. It's interesting how we use the term bullying. Like bullying is like a term that we have a very narrow definition around it, I think, as a society. Like we often use it in a very specific way. And yeah, so it's interesting because I do think that they can be bullies to each other as friends sometimes, but this in which they actually call them bullies is because it's like two strangers, completely unprompted. No one did anything effeminate, you know, it's like, and so that's why it's bullying. I don't know. It's interesting. Clearly we have like not really full thoughts around this. We're just kind of like,
yeah,
figuring it out as we go. Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally. I really like that link to what you're saying with anti-fat bias. Anyway. Yeah. So those are like, you know, no, I'm glad that we talked through this. Cause I'm like, there was something about this storyline that I was just like, there's something there that like, you know, we're not connecting. And I feel like that's that connection point is that like, it's like, they're so aghast because they have so much privilege and they're like, and so if in theory, they should not be bullied, you know, like,
yeah,
but.
So moral of the story. Bully the white cis men in your life. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
And watch them be so confused.
Take them down a notch. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. Bullying still sucks regardless of the identity that you hold. Like it's not fun.
Psychologically damaging, but like, let us also remember
that. Super psychologically damaging. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that you see this happen. Actually, you know what? If you think about it, like when kids... It is interesting how we tend to use the term bullying for children, mm-hmm. but we don't use the term bullying for adults, like almost never. Like we use the term bullying when an adult bullies a child, but we never use the term bullying when it's adult. And that's actually really interesting because if you think about it, like kids who are effeminate, like men or like boys who are effeminate get bullied for being effeminate. Kids who are fat get bullied for being fat, like kids who are, you know, whatever, like they get bullied for these very specific things. Mm-hmm. You get bullied when you're not like within what society deems the quote unquote norm.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that we don't actually have really a term for that as adults. Like you're just being a fucking asshole. And I guess it's rude to call children.
Yeah. I guess like, I don't know. Maybe it's like with children. I feel like we can go down this conversation for a lot longer. Like, but like the idea is that like, I don't know, there's almost like a form of like, when you say bully, like it's almost like maybe that the aggressor doesn't really have all that much power either, or it's for no reason. What are you doing? Are you looking up a definition?
Yeah. I want to know what they say. Bully, seek to harm, intimidate, or coerce someone perceived as vulnerable.
Anyway, I feel like this is all like, I think we can just like leave this here and have this like be like food for thought. And maybe we should throw up a poll on our Patreon, just sort of like, you know, asking if people have experience with being bullied and, you know, people can leave comments and stuff. I'd be so curious if people have stories or thoughts on this concept of like, you know, bullying versus like, you know, overt, you know, identity-based oppression, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like, yeah, it just makes me think a lot of like how it is that we determine these things. And it's almost like bullying defines that there's like there is a, oh my God. Okay. It almost feels like bullying implies that it can be resolved through conversation. Do you know what I mean? Like there's like something that can be like reasoned with. Bullying can be reasoned with. And you can like sit two kids down in a room and have a conversation. Or you can like talk to the bully and like reason with the bully, either as like a mediator or something. Like there's some sort of mediation that can happen in bullying. Whereas I think if like we don't really think of mediation in the same way when it comes to adults as children.
Well, okay. I guess here's the thing is that like, I think that bullying also implies that the person who's bullying, like it's their problem. Like usually it's like bullying is like, oh, they're trying to gain some sort of like power dynamic. And it's like, it really doesn't have much to do with the other person. And it has a lot to do with like the bullier is like, you know, we're taught as kids, like, oh, it's like, you know, they're, you know, like if a bully's there, it's like, they're the ones that are you know, the poop head or whatever, you know?
But isn't that more like to like save a child's self-esteem? Like it's like, they've got stuff.
But it's also recognized like within psychology that like it's when it's a bully, it has a lot to do, like bullying usually comes from a child having very low self-esteem. Like, for example, there was this huge campaign to try to raise kids' self-esteem in schools. And this campaign of like focusing in on self-esteem raised like the cases of bullying, like a ridiculous amount. And
wait, it raised the cases of bullying?
Yeah, because
by raising kids' self-esteem?
Because so, yeah, I know. let me explain. So essentially, because they've realized that like self-esteem has a lot to do with comparison to other people, that it's about like, well, for you to have high self-esteem, other people have to have lower self-esteem, that like you have to be better than other people in order to have high self-esteem. Whereas now what they're trying to integrate into schools is self-compassion. And so instead it's like, you deserve to love yourself no matter what, like if you get better marks than another kid, or if you get worse marks, or if you're not very good at doing XYZ sport or activity, like you need to like love yourself and you don't have to prove yourself different from anyone else. And so like,
that, are you sure that it's not like self-confidence versus self-compassion?
No, it's the self-esteem versus, there's a TED talk on it.
Leave that in the show notes. Cause I want to, that's interesting.
Sure. Yeah, I will. And yeah, so it's just about like shifting from, yeah. And so like, and so bullying has a lot to do with like directly being correlated to like, you know, campaigns of trying to raise people's self-esteem. Self-esteem has a lot to do with comparison to your peers. And therefore bullying has increased because it's actually kids who are very insecure and have low self-esteem and are trying to gain self-esteem by exerting power over other kids. And
right.
And so like, I guess all to say, to go all the way back around, is that like when saying bullying, there's usually like this implying that it's like, it has nothing to do with the person who's being bullied. It actually has everything to do with the bully. And I guess like, it's interesting though, because like, let's say we turn it to like someone who's like, if Chandler were to be like more effeminate, and it would be like, oh, maybe this is like a form of homophobia. Excuse me. And then we'd be like, and then it's like, are we moving away from using the term bullying because we're seeing, like, is it because subconsciously our society sees it as, oh, now there is a valid issue? Do you get what I'm, am I making myself clear? And like,
yeah, like you're saying, like, we're not considering it the bully's thing anymore. We're considering it like
there is society, like another, like there is a reason why someone is being triggered to be mean to someone. And that trigger issue is the problem of the person who's getting bullied, essentially. Just, yeah, it's just interesting, you know, like, yeah.
Or is it that we don't call it bullying because we recognize it as not just, we recognize it as beyond that. We recognize that there is a societal like understanding, like there's a, you know, we live in a heteronormative world and therefore we know that this is a result of people living in a heteronormative world, that they are homophobic. I don't know. Anyways, but this could be like just a forever conversation.
Yeah, it can be a forever conversation. But I guess it's like, it also, yeah, it just kind of goes back to like, we often forget, and like mainstream world, I think often forgets that like, you know, homophobia is not the problem of people who are queer. Racism is not the problem of people who are, you know, people of color or indigenous. And, you know, and ableism is not the problem of people who have disabilities. It's actually our society's problem. And like, it's the rest of the world's problem. Like, we are the problem when it comes to racism, you know, like, and so it's like, it's other people who have to adapt. And I guess it's like, I just find this interesting that we no longer use the term bullying when we start going into the realm of like, oh, this is racism. And is it like, do we have to like come back to like, oh, this is bullying and a form of racism, you know, or racism is bullying. Also, racism is systemic, which is like a whole other thing too, and very important. But like when we're talking about individual
action.
That's what I feel it is though,
that's the difference. Like I feel like bullying is not about the systemic. Bullying is about the one-to-one interaction. Whereas.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right. Racism, homophobia, all that stuff. It's all that stuff. Oppression is systemic. And yeah, that's the difference. Yeah.
Like bullying is like if someone's bullied for, you know, like he's wearing green shoes when all the cool kids nowadays are wearing blue shoes. Like that's not a systemic issue. That's just like someone.
Do you have green shoes? Because that's gross.
I do have green shoes, actually.
Oh, do you really? I still think
that's
it's gross.
I thought of it. I thought of my green shoes randomly.
That's really funny.
But like, yeah. So like, it's almost like bullying implies that there is not a systemic thing at play. Anyways, okay. We want to hear your thoughts on bullying. Let us know. Yeah, just let us know all your thoughts on bullying. We clearly have not fully formed thoughts and we're just spent the last half an hour kind of mulling them over and trying to figure them out. Yeah. And so if you feel like mulling over your thoughts, please do. Okay. All that to say, who do you feel is the best friend of the episode?
Oh, you're talking to me, right? I don't know. I thought you were talking to everyone else.
Well, yeah, they can also tell us their best friend in the episode by going to our Patreon. How many times have we said that in this episode?
Yeah, we're going to have, yeah, now we're doing a thing where you guys can vote on who the best friend of the episode is, which is, I'm very excited for that. So, best friend of the episode is, I didn't even think of this. Do you have someone in mind?
I'm thinking like either Rachel or Joey are contenders.
Yeah, that was sort of like in that boat. Monica's not so great. I also really liked how Ross like tried to stand up for Chandler, like with the hat thing. That was really cute.
That's true, yeah.
But I think that Joey.
Oh. I'm going to say Joey too. I want to say Joey because Joey like was prepping Rachel on what to expect for like this thing with Phoebe. He was like, it's the second time he's gone with Phoebe to do this. Like, he's like done this before. He knew what he was in for. And he was like down to do it no matter what the result was. He made that call for her when she didn't want to be the one to talk to her dad on the phone, you know? And then later on, when Ross and Chandler don't want to go to the cafe, he's like, I'm going to go to my niece's christening and then I'm going to come and I'm going to like support you in this. Like, I think he had like a few moments in a row in which he was like, mind you, he has that moment where when Monica comes back from her job interview, he's like, relax, Monica, like go get a beer. And the beer is actually for him.
Which for
is,
you?
It's fucking rude. So actually maybe that takes him down a peg, but I think overall he was the best friend of the episode.
Yeah.
And Phoebe like didn't do any supporting of other people, but she was like the best friend to herself this episode. She took like a lot of steps for her own.
Yeah. Let's give it to Phoebe. I really like, she was like, yeah.
She did some really good things for herself this episode. And I think that sometimes you need to be a best friend to yourself. And yeah, you're right.
I agree. Okay. Well, this ends the mainstream podcast.
Thank you for listening.
Or if you want to keep listening to our spoilies zone, you can hop over to our Patreon and join to listen to the spoilies zone part of the episode. And if not, that's okay. We love you. We'll see you next time and keep
deconstructing,
and diversifying the
media,
you consume.
Slight lag there.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the Phalange. If you're picking up what we're putting down, please consider supporting us on Patreon, leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, and or sharing us with all of your friends on social media.
You can find us at whatthephalangepodcast.com. Email us at WTPhalange@gmail.com, DM us on Twitter @WTPhalangePod, or follow us on Instagram @WTPhalangePodcast.
All links will be included in the show notes below.
Want to get in touch with us each individually? You can find Emily on Twitter as EmilyB__, and that's Emily with an IE.
And you can find Quinn at TheBasicNB on Instagram. Keep deconstructing
and diversifying
the media you consume.